Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. Big Portal news for the Buckeyes as freshman running back Bo Jackson is reportedly now planning on returning to Ohio State in 2026. While Buckeye fans celebrate, Wolverine fans are perfecting the art of saying goodbye as Michigan running back Justice Haynes is returning to college for another year, but will enter the transfer portal for a second time. Haynes, who transferred to Michigan from Alabama last offseason, was leading the Big Ten in rushing before suffering a foot injury in October. Tonight at 7:30, it's the Heisman winner Fernando Mendoza and Indiana taking on potential top five pick Dante Moore and the Oregon Ducks for a shot at the title game where the winner will face Carson Beck and the Miami Hurricanes. This update was sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Look, that team's standing away.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yes!
This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling here on a football-ish Friday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with our guy, the Murph Dog, Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts. Isaiah behind the glass. Patrick, happy Friday to you. I'm sure that you are very happy that you've reached the end of the week.
Well, here's the thing. Like, that doesn't mean anything to people who might enter the transfer portal or commit to Ohio State or
return out of the transfer portal, even though they never entered the transfer portal.
Declare for the NFL draft, decide they're coming back for their senior years. Like, this time of year, we were just talking about it with Isaiah before we came on. I don't know if we just missed it all because of the playoff run last year. So maybe it was a little more spread out. There were two transfer portals, as you brought up. But, man, this has been a wild ride. And we're not done yet. You know, we still have another, 6 days of the transfer portal
window. The 15th? Yeah, 15th that it closes?
16th, I think. So, yeah.
It's a whole Saturdays. Week?
Yeah, so another week. And, like, I know I'm struggling just to keep up with it. I can't imagine being inside that building trying to deal with all this and guys talking about coming and going and money, and you know it's a different world we live in, and I guess you adjust or die, right? And that's kind of the place we're at.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, right? We got a great show lined up for you here this evening. Coming up a little bit later this hour at 6:30, Adam Jardy will have beers and Buckeyes with him. West Coast version. Ohio State basketball with a big win, 72-62 over the Ducks of Oregon last night. We'll hear from Jake Diebler a little bit later on this hour. Tyler Danberg, the voice of Ohio State women's basketball, baseball, sideline reporter for the football team. He's going to join us at 7:17. Mick Walker of Letterman Row will keep us abreast of all the situations going on in the transfer portal at 7:30. To your point, Pat, and I think it's a very good point that you make. I think there's a combination of reasons why all of this is happening. Now, I'm not going to speak for the players who are entering the transfer portal for Ohio State, but to your point, yeah, maybe we did miss out on it last year because you were playing until the 20th of January. You were fighting for a national championship. Now, unfortunately for Ohio State this year, you got knocked out of the quarterfinals by Miami. Miami turns around. They beat Ole Miss last night. They're going to be one leg of the championship game coming up one Monday away from now. But you missed that, and also you only have one transfer portal now, but it does seem like everything is just moving at such an accelerated pace that, I mean, you check in around the country. I'm sure that on your 24/7 sports blogs that you check in with writers from Georgia, you check in with writers from Texas, you check in with writers from Notre Dame. Everything just seems to be happening all at once for these teams who are no longer in the college football playoff. And again, we got Oregon and Indiana coming up tonight, which is going to be a fantastic game, but it does seem everything is just spinning on its head. And it's not only an Ohio State problem. This is an entire college football problem issue that is going on across the sport, which is a wild thing to be able to deal with here in the first weekend of January.
Right. And I do think it has changed some this year. Like, I think each year it just grows the increase in guys that are looking to make a move or looking to, you know, find greener pasture. They hope to find greener pasture.
Sure.
I do, wonder how this is all going to play out. And I think it's a good point you made. This isn't just, you know, we're very dialed into Ohio State, and
it's called the Buckeye Show.
Right. But yes. I've seen a lot of people like, oh my God, the sky's falling. They don't, you know, half their roster's gone. This is happening. I mean, go look at Texas's depth chart for next season, if you can find that, because they have the very similar issues. So do a lot of teams. And, you know, if this is the way the sport's going to be, if there's not going to be rule changes, then this is going to happen every year. You're going to have to try and keep the guys you can happy and just be willing to move on from a lot of guys. And I think that means Ohio State has to shift how they're thinking about things to being maybe less high school recruiting, which is unfortunate because that's been a key to the success of this program forever.
Of course.
And more, hey, let's go get experienced guys in the transfer portal. And I think what you're seeing in the College Football Playoff, and you saw it last year with Ohio State and Notre Dame meeting in the championship game, the older you are, the better you probably are going to do in the playoff, the more experience you are. And
you've already seen it with Miami. Miami already employed this strategy where they're paying basically like 40 guys on their roster. And it's basically an NFL roster that Miami has. Like, they're not going out there and paying, 25 high school seniors to come in. Like, you know, they have 7 or 8 guys who I'm sure that they plucked out of high school and are paying them a very good amount. Same exact thing with Reuben Bain and all the guys who you're now familiar with. Carson Beck, obviously the highest profile guy who they got in the transfer portal last year. But Miami has shrunk down their roster. And I'm not saying that, you know, necessarily Ohio State has to do that. But I asked Austin Ward this question and Karp last night on the Buckeye Show, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. Do you think this offseason we will see a fundamental change the way that Ohio State recruits and the way that they attack the transfer portal?
Well, I think you're seeing some of it right now happen in real time as they're trying to make up for some of these losses. But yeah, unless there are rule changes or contracts or some sort of collective bargaining, I think you have to. And I know Ohio State's gotten criticized for maybe being a bit slow with NIL at the beginning, right? And stuff like that.
Yeah, they were never early adapters.
No, but they've adapted. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll see that. They just signed, 28 kids in that class?
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever see that again.
I don't think you're even going to get close to that.
Yeah, and that's their biggest in at least as far back as I could find.
Yeah.
So that is a big class. But they did that with the intent of, hey, we need to fill it because we know we're going to miss some guy. You know, there's going to be guys that leave, and we're not going to have a spring transfer portal window to fill it out. But you are now going to lose a lot of those guys this time next year who don't play a lot and have opportunities elsewhere. It's a lot like what college basketball was with the one and done rule from a fan perspective, from a media perspective of, hey, you're not going to get to know and watch these kids grow up like you did throughout the history of
even 10 years ago.
Yeah. Like these guys, you know, the Aaron Scott, just to grab a random player, like that's a guy who you probably thought, okay, he's been in the program 2 years. Now he's got next year. See how it goes. Maybe he's back his senior year.
You do the same thing with Bryce West.
Yeah.
Right?
Pick Quincy Porter, a freshman who flashed a little bit, dealt with injury. I mean, I'm just naming names, not to pick on any guys, but there's not going to be a lot of guys that choose to stay around. You know, this whole Bo Jackson thing. last year you wouldn't.
What do you mean the whole Bo Jackson thing? What happened today and last evening? What are you talking about?
It's just crazy. And, you know, I think it will affect college football because we've seen it affect college basketball and how interested people are when they don't get to know these players over a long period of time.
Bo Jackson reportedly coming back and returning to Ohio State, even though he never entered the transfer portal. And again, I mean, we were talking to Austin last night. You can always go back on YouTube and watch the show. You can download the podcast wherever you get your podcast from and take a listen to what he had to say about that situation. It was one of those deals where Ohio State felt good. I think at the beginning of the week, right, you were like, all right, Bo Jackson, he's coming back. You feel pretty good about your running back room. And then as we got to last night, Pat, there was a fervor that Bo Jackson was going to leave. And everything that I saw, and please dispel me if I'm wrong, that he was asking for, reportedly, again, I don't know any of this, he was asking for more money than Travion Henderson was making and Quinshon Judkins was making in their final year at Ohio State. And Ohio State basically said, we can't get there, man. Like, we can't do that for you. If you need to leave, you need to feel like you need to enter the transfer portal, go ahead. That's fine. And then, I don't know, a couple hours ago, maybe 90 minutes ago, it was being reported by Berm and 24/7 Sports, I think, was reporting it, the first one to go there, that saying that Bo Jackson is planning on returning to Ohio State. So I don't know if it was back channel stuff that was going on, that Bo Jackson was getting numbers from other schools, even though he wasn't in the transfer portal and it wasn't up to his expectation, or if he just realized, like, Ohio State's a pretty good place. I ran for over 1,000 yards. It's a storied program. I don't know what the situation is, but the fact that he is returning, obviously it's very good news for Ohio State, but that one got out of control, like, in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's one that got out sort of publicly, you know, from reports and things like that, but I think these conversations are happening with a lot of these guys, and, you know, maybe some of those guys we just mentioned, where they come to their head coach or their GM or whoever it is that handles that in this program, and it's not just an Ohio State problem, and they're either looking ahead or thinking about what they just did and are asking for money. And if you're Ohio State, if you're one of these college programs, it may seem like it's in bottomless pit of money because there's no set salary cap, but there isn't. You know, Ohio State knows what it can spend on the football program and on players, and so they have to, you know, sort of manage it like there is a salary cap. And you talked about an NFL roster. Look at running backs in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gotten a little bit better as teams have, you know, sort of changed the way they play defense to stop against the passing and you know, kind of sit back a little bit more.
Yeah, for years, very undervalued, right?
Yes, but you're not paying running backs in the NFL. Now, college is a little bit different because you're not having them for more than 4 years, probably. So, like, it's not the wear and tear conversation that you would have in the NFL. But it's still, I mean, the difference between the best running back and, like, a pretty good running back, not a huge difference, but could be a huge difference financially. So, like, if you're Ohio State, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but
I am.
If Bo Jackson was asking for X amount of money, or his people, or whoever this was going on, could you be like, hey, there's this player in the transfer portal, maybe we can go get two players with this amount of money? And you've got to make some tough decisions. And fortunately, it's all worked out. I think they ended up coming up with the number that made everybody happy and whatnot. So all's well that ends well. But this is just how it's going to go. And I think you'll see more of this.
Ohio State had more players enter the transfer portal. We'll do that. And Pat's burning thought about the Buckeyes coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
Hello. ...ends up one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium Tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on a free assessment.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Ohio State fans. Next time that snack craving hits, Burger King has you covered with the O-Fry-O bundle. You get a medium fry, 8-piece chicken fries, 8-piece mozzarella fries, and an 8-piece chicken nuggets, all for just $10. It's perfect snack fuel for one, wherever and whenever you're cheering on the Scarlet and Gray. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Limited time only at participating Ohio area restaurants. BK is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Tax extra.
Love football. Love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Byrne live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through February 2nd, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trail Hunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $279 a month for 36 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
This evening will remain dry but windy, and temperatures will fall down into the 30s overnight. We'll start your Saturday at about 38 degrees. Scattered showers will be possible on Saturday, but it's still warm with a high near 50. It gets cold on Sunday, though. We could see a few flurries at times, but it is going to be much colder, closer to normal for this time of year with a high of 34, but temperatures will be falling throughout the day on your Sunday. I'm meteorologist Ashley Smith on 97.1 The Fan.
If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is The Buckeye Show.
Thank you for hanging out with us here on this Friday. Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch. He's going to join us for Beers and Buckeyes with Pat Murphy. Except he's going to be filling in for Pat because Pat is in here this evening. He's out on the West Coast. I think he's going to be driving up to Seattle. Recap the Buckeye victory last night on the hardwood over Oregon. Preview the Washington game with him again. That's coming up here at 6:30. A little housekeeping note, too, by the way. I guess we should fill you in on everything that's been going on today for Ohio State. We just went over the Bo Jackson situation. Again, reportedly, he will be returning to Ohio State for his sophomore season. Bodpin Miller, wide receiver, entered the transfer portal. Malik Hartford, Jarquez Carter, Eric Mensah, Cade McDonald, declared for the draft.
No transfer portal for him.
And Bryson Rogers. No transfer portal. And Bryson Rogers committed to USF. Sam Dixon announced that he was going down and hanging out with Lenora Sellers, Shane Beamer at South Carolina. So
your program.
Yay, man.
Biggest South Carolina fan in Columbus.
Biggest South Carolina fan, maybe north of Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, maybe.
I was pumping them up this offseason. And by this offseason, I mean in the summertime, and then they started playing football. I'm like, I don't know about them, but hey, that never stopped anybody, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, Pat. I don't know how you do it. I mean, you're writing articles over at Bucknuts and about every single one of these guys entering the portal, their destination, where they're going. It is crazy. And I believe I counted earlier. I think in my math, in my counting skills, Ohio State is now up to 27 players in the transfer portal. Maybe 26, at least 26, maybe 27, but it is a whole heck of a lot. I mean, that's a quarter of your roster that you're dealing with is looking somewhere else.
Yeah, we've got on 24/7, we've got them at 26. Okay. Sometimes it doesn't update right away for guys getting in, so that could be off. But yeah, you're right about there. And yeah, this is like we were just talking about, like this is nuts. But that bottom third of your roster, so to speak, I think is going to leave. You know, if you have an option to go play somewhere else, there the guys seem more willing to take that now. And obviously money's a part of the conversation and things. But, you know, I would say I think this is going to be closer to the norm than the exception to the rule.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think college basketball has been dealing with this for a long time. And you called it what? College basketballification of college football. And I think it's a good way to put it. Now, the only difference between college football and college basketball is that you have 13 players in college basketball. You're now dealing with rosters of 80 to 100, depending on the school and kind of where you're at in college football. But it does start, it is starting to feel like, man, you can't even get a read on which guys are going, which guys are coming, which guys are staying. Now, you know, fast forward to the end of this. And again, January 16th is the final day that players can enter the portal. It's not like Ohio State has seven more days to say, hey, we need to sign all these guys out of the portal. You can do that. You can be extracted out of the portal after the January 16th deadline. You just cannot enter the portal if you are a player after then. So yes, a whole heck of a lot is happening, but it doesn't mean that Ohio State only has 7 more days to sign these players, Pat. That goes on for, I don't even know how long. I guess if a player's in the transfer portal in March, you could still pick him up, right?
Yes. If you think back to Lorenzo Styles Jr., I believe it was like March or April. It was after spring. Like, it was well after the windows had closed that he ended up committing to Ohio State, if I remember that correctly. It was definitely later in the year. So, yeah.
Also, 2 portals back then, though.
That's true. But there will be opportunities beyond this window. And I think the Buckeyes, you know, I know there's panic because so many guys are leaving, but I do, the Buckeyes are aware of that too, right? It's not like this number is not.
I think they're pretty aware.
Yeah. So I think there is something to being a little bit patient too. Like, let's not forget these playoff teams, you know, the teams that played last night, the teams that play tonight, teams that will play in the national championship. Like, they've got some good players on their roster, right? And some of those guys are going to enter the transfer portal. So, you know, I think it's fun to talk about, like, oh, they're adding this guy and they're adding this guy and there's a new guy coming in. He's exciting. But I think they are not necessarily slow playing it, but just trying to be smart about, you know, do we like this guy? Do we think there could be somebody better? You know, they're looking at other people's rosters and saying, like, hey, this situation might be something. I'm not accusing anyone of tampering because that's not allowed.
I'm accusing everyone of tampering.
But we do know there are backdoor conversations. And
I
back
do find
channel.
It funny, like, when you read a report that someone is entering the transfer portal with a do not contact tag. I'm like, how does that work?
Bryce West. He was one of those guys.
There was another one, too, who has that. And I'm forgetting who it is. Bryce West ultimately ended up committing.
Demond Williams did when he first entered in, too.
Yeah.
He had a no contact tag, which is interesting because it's going to be hard for you to decide where you'd like to go
if
you don't talk to anyone. But I guess maybe he just had a weird feeling in his mind.
That's what I'm saying, Isaiah. Maybe you just know, like, hey, I want to go to X school. And if I enter the transfer portal, I know that school is going to offer me. Not that I've talked to them.
And I don't want to talk to them either.
No, that's
illegal.
I'm just
going to decide I go there. You know, I don't know.
Right? I do find it funny that they even have that. That's even such a thing, like the do not contact tag when you enter it. Because that's obviously, at least to me, and again, Pat, you're smarter than I am. Isaiah, you're smarter than I am. That when these guys go in and do that, that there's obviously been conversations that have been had weeks before, days before. Like, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm getting paid. Boom, there we go. I get into the portal. I'm going to get offered, and then I'm going to be extracted by school X, Y, and Z. Like, I already know. My decision is already made at that point where I'm deciding to play college football.
The idea behind that, and I think you are correct in how you are, how this is actually playing out, but the idea behind it, from my understanding, was, you go into the portal, you don't want 10,000 text messages. You or your representative will reach out to the schools that you're interested in and see that how interested they are in you. Now, that's not how it's playing out.
No.
Yeah, I think there's probably a pretty good chance that Bryce West knew that Luke Fickell was interested, you know, for example, going into the portal. And I think, frankly, even guys that don't have the do not contact tag have a pretty good idea of what their situation is going to be, or at least they hope that they have a good idea. I think the thing that we probably haven't talked about enough, will all of these 27 guys, whatever you said, are they going to end up on FBS power forward rosters?
I would imagine that anyone who is playing at Ohio State will end up on FBS rosters. But to your point, and I think it's a bigger discussion as a whole, there will be a lot of the guys, and I'm not saying this for Ohio State players, I'm not saying this for Texas players, like all these big programs, but there will be a lot of guys who enter the portal who have played their last down of competitive college football. Like,
yeah,
that's it. Like, they're done. I don't know exactly what the extraction rate is across the sport, but you have to imagine, like, if you're a fourth-year guy or a fifth-year guy and you're looking to get another year of eligibility, whatever it is, I don't know, that, you know, you leave in search of greener pastures. Like, don't forget, you also have an entire new crop of freshmen coming in as well. All of these schools are crunching the number on what they need to do to fill out their rosters. And so, again, I don't know the exact number, but for a decent amount of these guys who think that their situation is going to get better and you're chasing the dollar, and listen, I'm not going to yell at anybody for doing what they think is best in their career, but it's just the unfortunate situation that a lot of these guys have already played their last down in college football and they don't even know it.
Yeah, I've talked to a handful of former players about this, And like, you'd think former players would be all about this, right? Like, hey, I have more power. Mm-hmm. I can make money. A lot of them have been like, this is just the wrong way to go about it. And, you know, coming up through what was a very set situation, you know, I think that they view it as like, this has changed the sport for the negative. And we say that, but then look at what it did in the playoff. Like, the games have been great. You've got new blood in there. And I know from an Ohio State perspective, we don't like that, right? I would have rather been in Arizona last night.
Yeah, you and Austin both. He was lamenting the fact that he was not at the Camelback.
They showed the outside of that stadium, and somebody sent me a picture of the Camelback last night, and I was just like, my goodness.
And hey, someone on our YouTube chat, though, last night, and shout out to all the YouTube chatters, we appreciate you all the time. Someone said, tell Austin, and now you, that it was rainy and cold in Scottsdale and Phoenix. So if that makes you feel any bit better, that the weather was not very good.
It doesn't, because the last time we were there, it was at least rainy. I don't remember it being necessarily that cold, but it was rainy basically the whole time we were there. Still love it. Still love it. I mean,
Shangri-La.
I love that place. Especially the hotel they put us up, the Camelback, is fantastic.
I gotta go out there sometime, because you guys talk about it like it's literally Valhalla.
Yeah, well, the
it's
difference,
like the best place in the entire world.
It's cool. I imagine, I've never been for a non-Ohio State bowl game. I imagine the hotel is cool in and of itself, just because it's, if you don't know what we're talking about, they're individual hut space. It's almost like Hobbit houses that are, you know, then some of them have two rooms, but you it's not like a hotel building,
like,
right?
Villas.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But then every place that we go has a hospitality suite where they feed us and there's drinks and stuff and nighttime activity.
Highfalutin media members.
Yeah,
man.
Right. And it's great. Like, it's one of the best parts of our gig, no doubt about it. The Fiesta Bowl is the best of those. And that's the thing that if you just went as Brandon Beam and Meredith going to Phoenix, you would miss out on that side of it. So we need to get you out there for a bowl game.
I don't think you've traveled with Meredith. And the red carpet that she gets when she arrives at places.
That's true. The place they put the hospitality suite, Beyonce stayed there.
Whoa.
Some names like that. So it's their VIP room that they just, you know, let us terrorize for 5 days.
Beyonce up here, Pat Murphy right below Beyonce.
They let you stay in that same place. He's knocking doors all night.
We don't stay in it. That's just where they let us eat and drink.
We roam in the Beyonce suite.
Yeah, there's some wild stories.
I've heard a couple of those. That's not safe for work and not safe for the air, at least some of them. Beers and Buckeyes, West Coast style, with Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show.
More ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Ryan Day's favorite radio show. Probably. Maybe. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Pat Murphy tonight. Coming up 1 hour from right now, Mick Walker of Letterman Row. He's going to join the program. We'll attempt to keep tabs on everything that is going on with the Ohio State football team and the transfer portal. Right now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Right now, head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Checking with our guy of the Columbus Dispatch, West Coast style. He is Adam Jardy. Adam, thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. Where are you at? Are you between Eugene and Seattle on your trek and voyage? Can you give us a GPS location for you?
I'm currently in Tacoma, Washington. We're detouring around some sort of wreck on the highway or something. So we are... We're doing all right. It's scenic. It's beautiful out here. It's my first time in Washington, so no complaints.
I have a question for you. Did you stay in Eugene for the last couple of days, Adam?
Yes.
All right. So, question for you, because I was out there back in 2020 on a golf trip, and I had the leg to drive. We drove up from Eugene to Seattle to play at Chambers Bay. It's a golf course that hosted the U.S. Open. It was great, but I was tasked with driving the leg from Eugene to Seattle, and you drive right through Portland. I had like a nervous breakdown driving through Portland. I don't know what the bridge is called, but it looked like it was 800 feet off the ground. There were like no guardrails on the side. Did you find yourself driving over that bridge? Because I almost think about that every single day of my life when I drive.
I did, in fact, and I don't do well with heights, but I did all right on this one. Okay. I think I'd been to Portland before when Ohio State played in the PK 80 tournament a couple years back, and I'd driven that before, so I think the familiarity helped me. But my life did flash before my eyes for like a half second before I got it together.
Adam, how was the record store selection in Eugene? Did you make a trip out to anywhere?
Did not actually. Took a trip in. It's okay. I'm saving it for Seattle.
Oh, okay.
There's not very many good bands from there. What are you talking about?
we hit up the Pacific Coast and drove out there and got nice. To see some waves and do a little bit of sightseeing. So I enjoyed that.
Adam, what did you take away from Ohio State's 72-62 victory? Thought it was a really impressive defensive performance by the Buckeyes last night. And also, it was very good to get the bench going with Gabe Cupps spotting you 9 points off the bench, which was probably a revelation for this team at this juncture of the season.
Yeah, those are definitely the two biggest takeaways from the game. I mean, that, and I think also Oregon's really bad. I was surprised. I mean, I thought they had more talent than this team seems to have. But Ohio State did what it was supposed to do. You know, I mean, I think we can both agree that, like, you can say that Oregon's not a very good team, but also Ohio State just never really let them get in the game. I mean, Ohio State led for almost 39 minutes of the game. And I think the thing that really, my biggest takeaway was that this is what happens when you don't dig yourself a hole, when you're not trailing, when you're not down big, because that was one of the things I talked to Gabe Cupps about. I talked to Devin Royal about was like, you put together this 21-0 run in the second half and it blows the game wide open. The game was over with like 8 minutes to go. They were leaving for the exits. And in the past, earlier this season, you've seen this team put together significant runs like that, but those runs only get them like up five, or they, you know, erase a 12-point or a 15-point deficit and they're up a couple points. This time it put the game away, and it just showed to me the difference that, like, when this team can play from ahead and go on a run like that, it can put a game out of reach quickly.
I thought it's a very good point out of you, because for so long, and you can go back to the Nebraska game, you can go to the Carolina game, like any one of their losses, they get behind so early, and even some of their victories, like they're down 15, down 12 points, and they're expending so much energy to be able to get back in these games. And then I feel like when they finally cross that threshold of getting back the lead, you can tell that the roster is kind of burnt out by the time that they take that lead back. But to your point about Oregon not being very good, I think it's a good sign for Ohio State basketball wise. And I think it's a good sign for Ohio State fans that if that is indeed a bad Oregon team, that you went on the road in their house and treated them appropriately and treated them so as a bad team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, like that just shows that that wasn't ever really a game. I mean, once Ohio State got the lead, there wasn't a point where I was sitting there, I'm thinking like, oh man, like Oregon's got a shot here. They're going to suddenly hit a bunt. Like, it just, you never felt that in this game to me. And I think, again, to like what we're saying about not having to overcome a huge deficit, like this was, in the previous eight games against high major teams this season, Ohio State had a double digit deficit in seven of them. And the one it didn't, it was 9 points at Northwestern. So just not having to, not digging a hole like that, I think was significant. And certainly like Gabe Cupps hitting a couple shots and getting things going. And I mean, hit a three in the first half, like that stuff all helped. And I thought you saw that took some of the pressure off some of the other guys. And, you know, they win a game and by double digits on the road without Bruce Thornton really doing a whole lot. Like, again, that's another thing that I think tells us that there's some stuff to this team that they don't need Bruce Thornton to go out and get them 30 every night for them to win.
Obviously, Brandon Noel had lost his starting spot. He hasn't been the player that they hoped for, but now he's out indefinitely. That's at the very least another veteran that the Buckeyes won't have. What did you make of how they replaced him last night, and how do you think that will play going forward?
Yeah, I think we saw some more Devin Royal at the four, because Oregon at times went a little bit smaller than they thought, and that allow them to play some three-guard lineups a little bit more. I don't know that that's going to be sustainable all the time because I just don't think you have enough height when you have Bruce Thornton, John Mobley, and Gabe Cupps out there together for extended stretches. But they did well with it last night, and I thought that Devin playing at the four again, that certainly helped. I thought we might see maybe a little bit better overall performance from, like, Ivan Yagovin. I thought he kind of struggled, and, you know, that's the most we've seen him in a little while. But, you know, he had a little bit of a rough go out there, and maybe that's just rust because it's the most he's had to play significant minutes in a while. But it's definitely going to stretch the roster in a couple different ways because whether they go small, whether it's with Devin at the four, whether they, I mean, they tried to play Yagovin and Tilly together for a minute or two, and it didn't go super well. Fouls were an issue too, but it's going to be an ongoing adjustment. I think it's going to be really dependent on like who they're playing and what that specific matchup looks like. But it is a blow. I mean, yeah, on the balance of the season, he's had a couple of off nights, but like, you know, Brendan Ohl had 29 to win that Northwestern game. And, you know, he had 14 in the first half at Rutgers when things weren't going well. And if he doesn't do that, they don't overcome that deficit they had there. So I think, yeah, he's had some games where he hasn't been productive at all, but that's still a blow that it's going to hit the roster a bit.
He is Adam Jardy, the Columbus Dispatch, joining us from the West Coast here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. I thought, actually, Adam, for the small amount of time that we saw it, now I would have to go back and kind of look at the box score. I thought Ivan, when he was paired with Amari Bynum, that was an interesting set. Now, I know that Ivan and Christoph Tilly played pretty well against Carolina. When you go back in the season and look at it, I thought last night when Ivan was paired with Amari that things were looking okay for Ivan. And then I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if it was fatigue or, like you mentioned, rust kind of getting to him. But again, I thought when he was paired with Amari, everything looked okay for him.
I think a lot of guys look good when they're paired with Amari.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I thought he was impressive in that game, and I thought his the physicality that he brought. He had four blocks. There was one play. Kwame Evans for Oregon had got the ball in the right corner, and he spun, got baseline, looked like he had a really powerful dunk coming, and instead Amari like came out of nowhere and just rejected it. And that was during that 21-0 run for Ohio State. I felt like that was another one of those little plays that, you know, allowed them to really hold the momentum in that game. I thought he had a really strong game, and, you know, certainly Yvonne's got a Big Ten body, and he's got like the ability, I think, to give them some minutes on a nightly basis. You know, there was the play where like Gabe Cupps passed him the ball and he had his back to him,
yeah,
and like it bounced out. Like, you know, there's some rust there, I think. And I would expect that hopefully that gets better as he gets a few more minutes, because I think he can help them and I think they're going to need him. I mean, Michigan, that's like 2 weeks away. They're going to be playing the Wolverines. And like, I feel like you might need his size to try to combat some of the things they bring.
It's funny you brought up that block. I had BTN on while we were waiting for Jake Diebler on the Zoom. They showed that play probably 20 times, just the highlight over and over and over again. Adam, you sort of touched on this already with talking about Bruce Thornton, but just the overall balance of this team. I don't know if we've seen that very much this year, at least in high major games. I feel like this is something they need to have more often. Obviously, Bruce can go off for you and win you games, but that was something that really stood out to me in this one.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, you look across the roster and you see what they had, six guys score and all six were between 9 and 14 points. I think every team in America would love that kind of like across the board balanced scoring attack. And I think that makes them more dangerous. I think, you know, they were really physical with Thornton. I actually was surprised. Like, he didn't attempt a free throw. First time all season, he didn't get to the line. And I don't think that was because he was doing something wrong. I think they just weren't calling it. But like normally, again, those are things that would be disasters for Ohio State, but they had, you know, Devin was doing really good things. Mobley hit some shots. Obviously you got what you got from Cupps. Thought Christoph Tilly played well. Like when you can spread it around the way that they were able to last night and not just have to put it on Bruce's shoulders, it does make this team look more dangerous. This was closer to what I think for Ohio State to be at its optimal level. I think what we saw last night is probably pretty close to that. Like that's the blueprint for this team to really be dangerous, I think.
What's your expectations going into Washington Sunday, 6 o'clock? You can listen to coverage right here on The Fan starting at 5 o'clock. Washington up and down, right? Some tight games for them, some tight losses, some bad losses as well. They're 1-3 in conference, 9-6 overall. Hostile environment that Ohio State's walking into, Adam. What are you expecting on Sunday?
I think this is going to be a significant test for them. It's certainly going to be a more challenging game than the one that we saw last night. The Huskies are, the record might be kind of what it is, but the computers like them. Like, this will be a quad one game on the resume. I think if Ohio State's leaving with a 2-0 West Coast trip, I think this game will be its biggest win of the season to this point, because I do think, like, Washington's got some dudes and they've got some size, they've got some young talent. I like a lot of the pieces on this roster. I have to sit down and really dig into some of the numbers between now and then, but I think this is a significant challenge for Ohio State. And I don't know what to expect atmosphere wise. I don't know what the gym. I hear it's a really old kind of rickety barn type of gym. I'm really excited
to
see
places.
That. So I do too. So I think it's going to be a fun environment. I know tickets are harder to get for this one than they were for Oregon, just looking on the secondary market. So should be a good environment, and I think it'll be a really strong test for Ohio State.
Adam, before we get you out of here, if you need a recommendation for Seattle, a little place called Starbucks, I heard serves a fantastic cup of coffee.
How do you spell it? Is that with an S or a C?
Either one that you want. I think you'll be able to find many of them if you're out there.
I'll put it in that Google thing and see if it can tell me how to get there.
Adam, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on. Safe travels out there, buddy. Enjoy the time on the West Coast, and we will check in again soon, all right?
Appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
There he goes. Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch on the West Coast with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. As we were just talking about, Buckeyes with a huge win on the road against Oregon last night. We're going to hear from some of Jake Diebler coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
New year here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through February 2nd, you can get $5,000 customer cash on remaining new 25 Tundras. Or get 0.99 APR financing on Tundra plus $1,000 TFS APR cash. With approved credit through TFS, excludes TRD Pro. APR cash must be applied to deal. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add on your choice of a sub, salad, wings, a 10-inch pizza, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. Gotta love more.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
We got a higher home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
.com.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. 4 out of 5 dentists recommend this show. The other dentist is a Michigan fan. Yuck. You're listening to the Buckeye Show.
We're here on the Buckeye Show, brought to you by our great friends over at CareSource and United Healthcare. Pat, what's your biggest hot take about the Buckeyes right now? Basketball, football, in general, the university?
I don't think the sky's falling.
Okay. Adam King?
No, I don't think the sky's falling.
Neither does he.
Oh, I just assumed Adam did. Well, I just assumed he's in full panic mode all the time.
He kind of is. The other day when we had him on the show, he was like, everybody just needs to relax. I'm like, I think if you're going to say that to people, you need to heed your own advice because he is all over the place right now.
Right. It's the delivery. It's the delivery. If you didn't know what he was saying, but you only listened to him talk, you would think the sky is falling. But he's actually saying knowledgeable things.
Yeah, he's very herky-jerky.
It was great. It was great while we were in Dallas because he lost his voice for a couple days.
Yeah, we heard that story. So Austin was his chauffeur slash medical driver, assistant.
He just had to like sign language to us. He just couldn't say anything, or he was not. And we just got some quiet time. It was great. No, we love Adam. I'm just kidding.
Yes, we do love Adam. We like to make fun of him because we love him.
Yes, exactly. But no, I do think that like, they're going to figure this out. You know, I think this team has proven time and time again that it can adjust, and they still have plenty of talent coming back. Maybe it doesn't look as deep next year, but is Indiana the deepest team? Is Miami the deepest team? No, that could be their national championship matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly can be, and we'll talk a little bit about that coming up more in the College Football Pulse. I just think it's going to be a different strategy moving forward from Ohio State. I think it's a big talking point this week for the Buckeyes that, you know, we've seen for so long, like them identify high school recruits, them slowly bring guys along while continuing to pay them. And now that you're seeing really a mass exodus like that, it is what it is. Like, you call a spade, a mass exodus for Ohio State. Either they have been informed of the strategy, they don't like what they're being paid, the players, that is. The players either have been informed of the recruiting strategy / NIL strategy. They weren't happy with the dollar amount that Ohio State was going to give them, either that they weren't going to get the play time that they wanted, and or Ohio State is just saying, hey, we're now looking to bring other guys in that we can pay maybe a little bit more that are a little more proven than you. So, I mean, for so long, you've heard and we've talked about the developed here mantra, right? Like coming out of high school. Guys who spend 2 years here, 3 years here, they come along, and really the story of the defense this year, I think you can credit to that developed here mantra, right? Like we talk about all offseason, like, boy, we really haven't seen Caden Curry that much. We really haven't seen Kenyatta Jackson that much. Like, we knew that Cade McDonald was awesome coming into the year. Like, we knew that Arvell Reese had the potential to be terrific, in which he was. Sonny Styles was already great. But I think that, all right, don't worry. Like, these guys have been in the program long enough. You've seen them play enough ball where you feel pretty confident. And then they go out and really perform at a level that we have not seen a lot of times at Ohio State, at least defensively. That may be a way of the past, Pat. Like, I don't know the next time you're going to see as many returning underclassmen turn upperclassmen be starters for Ohio State and produce at that level. Because, again, I think Ohio State is totally changing its recruiting NIL transfer portal strategy.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. And you'd hope that guys look at Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson and say, look at what they did. They waited their turn behind two really good players at their position. Then they got their opportunity and they took it, right? And it just is a different mentality right now. You know, I don't know if that is money. I don't know if that's people listening to the wrong people. I mean, one thing, and I don't
one
know
one portal compared to two.
True.
I don't know.
I don't know if you and Austin talked about this, but I think it's something that a lot of people don't know is the agents that we hear about. These aren't necessarily the same agents that are representing NFL guys. Now, some of them are.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go through any of the tests you have to go through to be an NFL agent or be any sort of certified. Like, it can be your mom. It could be your neighbor. It could be your best friend.
Well, Lamar Jackson's was his mom.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes that works out. But most of the time you have to, and she still had to get certified though. Like, it'd be like when Mike Bennett was at Ohio State, if this were the case, and you're just representing him, and no offense to you, but you're not qualified to do that.
No, I'm not. And I'm absolutely not qualified to do that.
And you'd be looking, and there's also no cap. Tony Gerdeman tweeted about this earlier. Like, there's no cap on what agents can get. So of course you're looking for the best deal financially for yourself and your guy, right? Not necessarily.
I don't blame anybody for that.
No, but it just changed the Caden Currys and Kenyatta Jacksons of the world.
Yeah,
because everybody wants the opportunity to play right away, and then there's the financial part of it.
We'll talk some more football coming up at 7 o'clock. Get into the College Football Pulse. Shift back to Ohio State basketball, though. 72-62 victory over Oregon. Team moves to 3-0 on the road this season.
That's wild.
It is. They're 3-2.
Big Ten.
They're 3-2 in conference.
Yeah.
All three of their victories have come on the road.
Yeah. And we say it's hard to win in the Big Ten on the
road. Road Warriors is what this Ohio State team is. Here's Jake Diedler talking tonight, or last night, I guess this morning, technically, if you do want to be technical about it, about his team's toughness.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this. We're a tough team. We're a tough team. I think there's, you know, we've been talking a lot about how to shift our mentality a little bit, and I thought we did. I thought we were aggressive from the jump. We stayed aggressive the whole game. Again, wasn't perfect, and, you know, you certainly don't have to be perfect to win, but your physicality, your aggressiveness, your execution has to be consistent, and that's what we've been pushing, to be more consistent. And, you know, we were. I mean, we had some big time defensive stretches, you know, tonight, and I thought that was really important for us.
But defensively, they were terrific, and then in the second half, Pat, they ballooned that lead against Oregon, with aided by a 21-0 run. But I mean, at one point during the game, and I think it was in the first half, I don't know, I had eyes on the football game last night between Miami and Ole Miss. I'm looking down at the box score to try to keep stats, looking for questions that need to ask the assistant coach after the game. So it's kind of all over the place. At one point, Oregon was shooting 14.5% from the field.
Is that good?
Now, some of that is based on Oregon's skill level, but also some of that is a credit to what Ohio State was doing defensively last night.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, and you and I talked about this on when I came on after the game. Like, it was a team effort defensively. Like, they were, the guards were playing with energy. Like, they were dialed in, and everyone was doing their part defensively. And you know, to Adam's point, and you just mentioned it there, like, this isn't a great Oregon team, so I don't want to blow this out of the water. But you very easily, especially coming off that Nebraska game, traveling across the country, like we saw it last year with their trip to LA for the UCLA and USC game, like you could have lost this game, you know, and, you know, then maybe looked at the Washington games like, okay, now we're settled, let's get our win here, go back 1-1. Well, now you have the opportunity to go 2-2 or 2-0, and I think it's got to start on the defensive end for this team.
It has to, right? Because really you're not getting much off the bench. Now, it was nice to see Gabe Cupps deliver some, and maybe that gets him more confidence. But if you go back and watch him at Indiana, I mean, this is a guy who shot the ball. It's a guy who drove the ball. It's a guy who won Mr. Basketball in the state of Ohio. Colin White, same exact way. And I thought it was interesting coming off the Nebraska loss, Jake Diedler talking about, I have more faith and more confidence in our bench guys than it seems that they have in themselves. And I thought that was maybe the most interesting comment he has made so far this season. Now, with Brandon Knoll going down, some of these guys are going to be forced into playing a much bigger role. But it was nice that it seemed that Gabe Cupps got that message, and you did see him be aggressive off the dribble last night and contributed something offensively.
Yeah, they need that because I think it's two games they've had 0 points on the bench. They've had one game with two. I think that was the Illinois game. So that's just not going to cut it. And, you know, 9 points still isn't a lot. You'd like to have some more, but it's something, right?
It's more than zero.
It's more than zero, yes. So I thought, too, that something that stood out to me with Gabe Cupps, he gets a technical, I think, for jawing at the bench.
That is correct. After a three.
Yeah. And like, I like that. Like, you don't want to get a technical in that game, but like,
says the man with like 18 red cards when he played soccer.
Yes, no doubt. But I think, I think that shows the kind of fire and stuff that Jake Diebler's talking about. Yeah. Like, I'm going to knock down a three. You guys maybe have been chirping at me on the court, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever reason it is, whatever you have to unlock in your head to become that aggressive player that Jake Diebler's asking for, fine. And you don't want to give up 2 points on technical or whatever, but if that helps him, more power to him.
On the road at Washington coming up 6 o'clock on Sunday, 5 o'clock coverage. You can listen right here on The Fan. I have no clue what the NCAA does. We'll do that in the College Football Pulse next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Men, the new
knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never fresh. Frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Isaiah Jacob. Big portal news for the Buckeyes as freshman running back Bo Jackson is reportedly now planning on returning to Ohio State in 2026. A home run for the Buckeyes bringing Bo back, but that team up north takes a hit of their own. Michigan running back Justice Haynes is returning to college for another year, but will enter the transfer portal for a second time. Haynes, who transferred to Michigan from Alabama last offseason, was leading the Big Ten in rushing before suffering a foot injury in October. Coming up at 7:30, it's the Heisman winner Fernando Mendoza, Kurt Cignetti, and the Indiana Hoosiers taking on Dan Lanning. Potential top five pick Dante Moore and the Oregon Ducks for a shot at the title game. The winner takes on the Miami Hurricanes and Carson Beck. This update was sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better.
It's time for your daily dose of vitamin B. B stands for Buckeyes, just in case that wasn't clear. You're listening to the Buckeye Show.
Score update going on for you right now. Ohio State hockey taking on Michigan State, currently down 1-0 to Sparty. You can listen to that game over on ESPN Columbus, which is 1460 on the AM. Our guy Nate Dogg over there in the other studio dropping a little update for me right there with Neil Sika and the gang.
Plus, we just saw the Bears win in dramatic fashion.
Yeah, they did. That was awesome.
Started great.
Have the NFL Network on. It was a replay of the Bears-Packers game from a couple of weeks ago at Soldier Field. And I told Isaiah, I'm like, if you were to sign me up for this game to end the way that I know it is, I don't think I would have taken it down 16-3 with like 5 minutes left to go in the game. Like, I don't think I still would have signed up and even believed that they won that football game. How are you feeling about tomorrow?
Bad.
Why?
He does this every week.
I've been right. And again, Pat is a Rams fan. 4 o'clock tomorrow at Carolina.
4:30, yeah.
Carolina.
They lost to them already.
Would they lose to them twice? Come on.
What? There's no way, Pat.
There's definitely a way. It's called the Rams don't play defense, and Carolina has two big receivers that they just can chuck the ball to.
I think that you will have no problem at all.
Also,
winning that football game.
The Rams' right guard, Dotson, is out. He's the only guy that can run block. The run game has fallen off the cliff.
You don't need to run the ball.
That was the only reason they stayed in the game.
You're fine. You got Matt Stafford back there. What's the update on Devontae Adams?
He's playing.
Oh, so you're fine. You got Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. You guys are running 13 personnel, like 90% of your plays.
They are, yeah. How do you feel about the Bears?
Bad.
See?
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel really bad about it. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
I saw something on Rams Twitter that was like teams to cheer for during the wild card week, and it was like very heavy Packers because
it would
help them get a home game it.
I don't care about the Rams.
I'll be cheering for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll be cheering for you. Hopefully we can then play each other in the next week in the divisional round.
I know too many Bears fans, and I would hate that so much.
I think I would,
you
too.
You and Stefan Kreischnick from Cleveland.com. Yeah. Garrick, our recruiting guy.
Yep.
Tony Gerdeman. My buddy Nathan, who I grew up with, is like sometimes a Bears fan, but also sometimes a Browns fan.
You don't want that?
I'd prefer it not, but I don't think the Rams are going to win anyway, so we won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we're going to have a...
I'll just cheer for you guys the rest of the
Panthers-Bears game in the divisional round, which would be fine. You would sign me up for that.
Two division winners.
Sign me up for that. If you could... And I'm cheering for you tomorrow again, but if you could sign me up instead of the Rams, that the Bears would get the Panthers in an alternate reality, that would be just fine.
We'll check in at halftime.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Isaiah, what do you got for us tonight, buddy?
Well, we might as well kick it off with the IU-Oregon game coming on here in about 40 minutes. I'm seeing Fernando Mendoza on my TV. Right now, IU a 3.5-point favorite. How you guys feeling about this game tonight?
I've waffled on this so hard. And even 10 minutes ago, I told you how I felt about this, Isaiah. And now I think I'm kind of going back. A couple of weeks ago, when the college football playoff bracket got unveiled, we went through and we picked all the games. Now, we were wrong about Miami, Ohio State side of the bracket. We're not going to look at that side of the bracket. But I think all three
of us...
We're
also wrong about Georgia Ole Miss.
Yes, that is correct. That's what I said. That side of the bracket, we were wrong.
Yeah, it's
but been this good. Side of the bracket, we have been correct. And all three of us, sitting in this room, picked Oregon to beat Indiana. And I think I'm going back on that. I have to reverse course. I think I have to go with Indiana. I've been doubting them all year long, right? Their coach... Kurt Cignetti is wonderful. Dan Lanning is a wonderful coach. But that guy has them playing like psychopaths. Like, they hunt, seek, destroy. That's their mission. And I don't know. I mean, I was a believer when they beat Ohio State. I didn't think that was a fluke. But I thought, the stakes aren't really that big. Get in the playoffs. Maybe Ohio State plays them again. We'll see a different Ohio State team. And that's the best punch that Indiana can throw. Indiana just boat raced Alabama in the Rose Bowl. I think it's the third time since like the 60s that Alabama has been beat by more than 30 points. And if that wasn't a statement enough to college football, then I don't know what is. So I'm officially, as of 7:07 on January 9th, I am reversing course and picking Indiana to win this football game. As the spread goes, I don't know. That's the hook will set you free kind of lifestyle. I do think it'll be a close game because I do like Oregon and what they've been able to do. This season, obviously, very good football team, very well coached. But yeah, I don't know, man. I can't doubt Indiana any longer. I just can't do it.
Quack quack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the biggest reason for me is the revenge game. Like, I think that's real. The only time that it hasn't paid off was Ole Miss Tulane when it was just overmatched, right?
Sure.
I think that's going to be a real thing. It's hard to beat, and this is something college football teams are going to need to get over. It's hard to beat a team twice.
It is.
And Oregon has a lot of motivation. That game was close the first time. And I think the Ducks still have some of last year, kind of sitting there. Whereas, like, I think Indiana was happy to be there last year. They're certainly not now. Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's going to be a great game. It wouldn't surprise me either way, to be honest. I'm not touching anything about this game if I'm gambling.
No.
But I'm sticking with what I picked when we did our predictions.
I hope both teams have fun. I hope both teams have a great time this evening. I'm just hoping for the style of game that you got last night between Ole Miss and Miami, and then the last game of the college football playoffs when it was Ole Miss and Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, if we get that tonight, it'll be absolute theater between those two demon head coaches.
Yeah, and even the first time they played, I mean, it wasn't as high scoring, but we were watching that driving back from wherever Ohio State played that week, Illinois maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
And that was an exciting game, even though it wasn't, classic Big Ten touchdown. But it was more high scoring than I think your classic Big Ten game, but it wasn't like what Georgia Ole Miss did.
Isaiah,
we play defense in the Big Ten.
Apparently. Yeah, well, sometimes. We'll see what happens tonight. Isaiah, speaking of Ole Miss, they got bounced last night at the hands of Miami. There was news that Trinidad Chambliss was coming back. He was returning to Ole Miss via pending a waiver from the NCAA. I believe you have an update about that said waiver.
Yeah, the NCAA has, unfortunately for Ole Miss fans, denied Trinidad Chambliss' waiver for a 6-year of eligibility. The decision appears to end Chambliss' a college career, but he is. He's going to appeal it. They're going to try. And this made me think, too, like, is it good for college football to have some of these, like, sixth and seventh-year guys? I mean, we've seen Carson Beck last night. Because when you think about
Carson Beck was in the same recruiting class as C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson.
Unbelievable. And it's funny because, like, when I think about college basketball, all that I've wanted is for players to stay longer. I wanted D'Lo to stay a couple more years. And it is more fun when you have the Aaron Crafts and Bruce Thorntons, but it's not fun when you team jump. Like, Caleb Love wasn't fun when he jumped around the whole time. Same thing with Carson Beck and Trinidad Chambliss. If he had come back next year for Ole Miss, indifferent for me. But I don't like it when they team jump.
I understand it from a Trinidad Chambliss standpoint, too. Like, you do have a rather big gripe with the NCAA jumping levels from playing from Ferris State and then going to Ole Miss. Like, you know, I do understand that because Diego Pavia got the injunction last year. We saw he got an extra year of eligibility. But, Pat, you were telling me it was something to do with an injury for Diego Pavia and really Trinidad Chambliss never having the injury or him being cleared by his old school. That's what the NCAA honed in on. I would be shocked, though, if this injunction that they put in Mississippi that goes to state law then and it's going to go to a judge, I would be surprised if Trinidad Chambliss is still not playing for Ole Miss next year when the football season starts.
What if that judge is a Mississippi State fan?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Just saying.
I'm guessing that they'll find an Ole Miss fan, though, yeah, that is going to be the injunctor.
It's wild that that's where we are in college athletics. I think that... Look, I think you have your time, right? And this is an interesting scenario, similar with Diego Pavio, where they played at a different level and moved up. And I think it's an awesome story. But also, it's not like with Diego Pavio, he probably doesn't have a ton of an NFL future. Like, I think Tristan does, or Trinidad does.
I absolutely agree. I think NFL teams are probably drooling when they're watching him play.
Like, I wouldn't hate him sitting behind Matthew Stafford and learning from Sean McVay for a couple of years. I mean, pick your team, right? Like, I think that's a guy. Maybe he's not ready day one.
Isaiah
going
Browns,
and start.
Trinidad Chambliss.
We're willing to try anybody. Yeah. Clearly,
I just think
Lane Kiffin, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Trinidad Chambliss, starting quarterback.
Ooh, that sounds like a dastardly duo. Yeah.
What about John Harbaugh?
Now you're talking my language. I don't think he would, but you're talking my language a little bit. And speaking of Lane, you guys see his tweet last night, which I absolutely love to see. He tweeted out after Ole Miss lost, he said, "Amazing effort and grit at Ole Miss," with a little crying emoji. "Best season ever in the history of Ole Miss." He put out this huge gif with like a heartbreak emoji. And all I'm thinking is, he secretly wanted them to lose.
He secretly wanted them to win because I think he was owed an extra $500,000 if they won that game, right?
I guess the money thing. So in my mind, I'm thinking that he's going to get crap, obviously, for leaving the team that went to the title game. But also at the same time, the money clearly talks for Lane.
Yeah, it does. I don't know. I mean, take or leave Lane Kiffin, right? I think Ole Miss was playing with their hearts on fire. And unfortunately for them, they just came up against a stronger Miami side at the end. Play-by-play voice of your Ohio State women's basketball, baseball, and sideline reporter for the football team, Tyler Danberg. He's going to join us in studio coming up here next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Wake up with the fan. Eat lunch with the fan. Go to bed with the fan. Dream about the fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The fan.
It's a new...
It's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through February 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Corolla or Corolla Hybrid. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a new gas-powered Corolla LE for $209 a month for 36 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years.
We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection and early diagnosis.
The James Cancer Diagnostic Center at Ohio State
is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis.
We are transforming care by giving patients direct access
to cancer experts who study and treat cancer every day.
If you think you have cancer, the choice is clear.
Choose the James Cancer Diagnostic Center.
Bishop and Friends.
It's cold. They go to warmth. They're trying to find things. We've got the Orkin. It's all going to be fine.
No, it's worse. It's worse. Buddy killed the mouse.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
Hey, Ohio State fans. Next time that snack craving hits, Burger King has you covered with the O-Fry-O bundle. You get a medium fry, 8-piece chicken fries, 8-piece mozzarella fries, and an 8-piece chicken nuggets, all for just $10. It's perfect snack fuel for one, wherever and whenever you're cheering on the Scarlet and Gray. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Limited time only at participating Ohio area restaurants. BK is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Tax extra.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
It has been a record-breaking Friday with a high of 65 degrees here in Columbus. That breaks the old record of 62 degrees, but the warmth is going away this weekend. The rain is over for now. For your Friday, we will remain dry but windy with a low of 38. Saturday, we'll see a few scattered showers and a high near 50. And then on Sunday, it gets much colder. We'll see a few flurries at times. Temperatures will only be in the mid-30s, barely above freezing, which is closer to normal for this time of year, but it will remain cold for your Sunday. I'm meteorologist Ashley Smith on 97.1 The Fan.
The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is The Buckeye Show.
Here on The Buckeye Show, we are now joined by our terrific friend. He is also new in this business, but not really. His looks will kill, and so will his voice. He is Tyler Danberg. Tyler, thanks for joining us. If people don't know you, you're the Ohio State football sideline reporter. You're the Ohio State women's basketball play-by-play man. We have not heard you do baseball yet on these airwaves, but we will in the spring. Thanks for the time, buddy. Always good to catch up with you. What's happening?
What's going on, Brandon? Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor to be with you.
It's not. It's not an honor. Don't say that. Don't say that. We were talking last night, me and Austin Ward. I'm like, that dude runs circles around me, and you terrify me to talk to. How's everything going? How's your first year, half a year, really? I mean, it's only been 6 months, but you got thrown right into the fire, right into football, women's basketball. You're traveling all over the place. How's everything been? You doing all right?
Doing great. You know what? It may sound cliche, but it really is a dream come true to be here, to be with you, to be with this station and with the Ohio State Sports Network and 97.1 The Fan. Between the football, basketball, baseball, coaching staff, personnel, athletic communications people, we are really blessed to do what we do in this area, in this community, and also to have the listener base as well. So it's been a real treat to be back here at Ohio State.
What's been your favorite moment so far this year? Because I know you've gone through a lot, like you've traveled with the football team, obviously, like in the throngs of the women's basketball season. And we'll get to that here in a minute on how they're doing this year. But do you have a favorite moment? What stands out to you, at least so far in your last 6-7 months here?
Yes. So as the sideline reporter for the football broadcast, one of the big duties leading up to kickoff is going to midfield for the coin toss.
Yeah.
And the Texas
game. How's that experience?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It gives you an adrenaline shock that I don't think I've felt before. And I don't know if you feel the same way in your long career doing this, but I'm sure there are times where you get so wrapped up in things where it's hard to enjoy the moment or look around and sure. be where your feet are just because there's so much going on and you got a job to do. But while walking out right to the left of the captains, heading out to midfield for the coin toss for a game that had so much buildup like that, and looking around, the turf was greener, the scarlet seats were sharper, the sky was bluer. There was
much better seats than in the camera deck, right? Oh,
definitely, but you know what? The camera deck angle as a student doing games for Scarlet and Gray Sports Radio is a blast in its own right, but I think that was the first time ever I can remember in my career, Brandon, where I was able to look around very quickly before going on the air to realize, oh my God, what an unbelievable scene, setting, and atmosphere to be a part of, just engulfed in it all.
Well, buddy, you do a terrific job for us and on the network. Do a fantastic job. Updates for Common Man and Timmy and all throughout the day here. So we're very lucky to have you. When you look back on this football season for Ohio State, and by the way, Tyler and I are talking earlier than what this is airing, so things may have changed already in the transfer portal. What's your big takeaway on kind of the state of college football right now and where it's at? Because I feel like the Ohio State fans kind of feel like the ceiling, the roof is collapsing on them. And I'm like, well, all the blue bloods are kind of dealing with this. It is a crazy offseason for college football.
Yeah, with the single transfer portal window, that immediately threw things for a wrench, especially for the teams that we're going to be going through the college football playoff, the teams that were going through early signing day while preparing for a conference championship like Indiana and Ohio State were in the Big Ten. I mean, there's just so much that's simultaneous. I think that's my biggest takeaway. There's so much simultaneous uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You've got different injunctions and different filings for extra years of eligibility around the country. You've got
some get passed, some get squashed down, like we saw with Trinidad Chambliss.
Absolutely,
earlier today.
That was today. Another thing that happened literally right before you pressed record on this, Brandon, is that Bo Jackson is coming back to Ohio State per CBS Sports. Literally right before this happened, so it really is the wild, wild west, and it's a lot of navigating on the fly. So a lot of hard work and trust comes in for head coach Ryan Day, general manager Mark Pantone. Yeah. They navigate a lot of murky waters like this, at least they have over the last 3-4 years in this ever-changing college landscape. So there's so much unknown that is still happening as the season hasn't even been close to finishing yet.
No, it's not, right? I mean, that's the crazy part. As I was doing the basketball game last night, late into the evening, into the early morning hours, as the Ohio State men's basketball team was on a West Coast trip. They defeated Oregon last night 72-62. They're going to be on the road at Washington on Sunday. It's, you know, we're still watching the semifinals. We haven't even got to the second semifinal, and it just feels like the clock is so accelerated now in college football with this one transfer window. And it's a crazy time to be a college football fan, because for so long, you know, it was, okay, go through spring ball, you go through winter workouts, not a whole lot of roster movement. And then I feel like since 2021, like after that transfer portal really started to pick up, NIL kicked in, no one really's got a feel for that. Like, it's just, boom, gas pedal now, trying to change the calendars. I mean, it is a pretty wild ride.
Yeah, think about everything that's going on right now for Ohio State, and the season is over, but a new season has begun. They had their 28-player class of 2026 nailed down early signing day. That's in the rearview mirror, but now you've got the single transfer portal window, which will be closing soon. You've got NFL Declaration Day coming up the following Wednesday, and there are four projected first-round picks that have declared for Ohio State and Caden McDonald as of Friday. You've got Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese. You're going to get the rest of the kit and caboodle there as well, and that'll probably increase. And then you also have to navigate who's coming into the program, who's going to be able to stay in the program. I'm looking at a guy like Kenyatta Jackson Jr., Max Clare, the defensive end and tight end. They still have not made their decision clearly as of this Friday when we were taping this interview. So there's so much
it could
unknowns.
Be different by the time that this airs.
No doubt. And so there's a lot of different things that the program has to navigate, because they have to know whether those guys at those positions are going to be coming in. And if they decide to declare, then you have to figure out, do you have the pieces in the room and in your incoming freshman, or do you need to go to the portal and get another guy? And I like the idea of going to a linebacker like Christian Allegro from Wisconsin with starting experience and some good pedigree to bolster that linebacker depth.
I feel like any time that James Laurinaitis picks out a guy and you're good enough to play for Luke Fickell, like, those guys have pretty good pedigrees, so I think he's going to fit in just fine here in the back room. Let's change gears as we check in with Tyler Danberg with us here in studio. Catch us up to date on what's going on with the Ohio State women's basketball team, because I know a lot of Buckeye fans, like, they start watching men's and women's basketball after the football season ends, right? Ohio State, like I said, big win last night on the road against Oregon on the men's side. Women's side, a couple of nights ago, Jelani Cambridge went nutso. 40 points. I think it's, what is she, the fourth player in program history to go over 40. Now, Kelsey Mitchell does have four of those, but Jelani Cambridge went absolutely nuts the other night against Illinois on the road, 41 points. How's the season going so far? How's it treating you? You doing all right?
Doing great. Yeah, it's been a great start to the year for Ohio State. 14-2 on the year, winners in 10 of their last 11. Their lone losses this year, Brandon, are to number one UConn and to number four UCLA. Now, they lost to the Huskies 100-68, but UConn's doing that to most of the teams in the country that they've played. UCLA, they were down by as much as 16 in the fourth quarter, and they only lost by five and had a chance to win the ball game in the last three or four possessions. And that is the big takeaway. If there's one thing that you should know about this Ohio State women's basketball team, the number 19 team in the country, they're never out of a game because of the style that they play with. Yeah. It's an up-tempo, run-and-gun type of basketball with the full-court press Kevin McGuff.
I mean, that's a trademark.
Yeah, if you don't know anything about Ohio State women's basketball, and you should, it's that Kevin McGuff's team will full-court press from play number one to the final play of the game.
I don't know how they do it, man. I get tired just watching them.
It's incredible, the stamina and endurance. And historically, they usually run about seven or eight players deep. They're a little bit smaller of a roster in size-wise, at 11 players on the roster, but they're bigger in the front court. They've got more length, maybe the most length that Kevin McGuff has had in his 13 years here. They've got three players 6'4 or taller, and they can use 1 through 11. They've got different pieces that they can go to, and they have two different lineups that they can go to. They can play four guards in the starting five. They can play three guards and then a 6'4 redshirt freshman in Kylie Kitts, who has really excelled this year, their leading rebounder. Then Elsa Lemula, who's their leading shot blocker. She's 6'6", tallest player in the program since, I believe it was Teresa Eklar and I'm blanking on who the other one was, but you got to go back to 2015, the last time Ohio State had a player 6 feet, 6 inches.
More than a decade. Buddy, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on. You guys are on the road. We'll let you get out of here. We'll let you go pack on the road at Maryland. Big game on Sunday at 4:00. Of course, you can listen to that on the Ohio State Sports Network. Tyler, appreciate the time. Thanks again. Enjoy packing. Enjoy the road trip to Maryland, and we'll have you again in soon. All right,
Brandon, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Tyler Danberg in studio with us here on this fine Friday evening. Mick Walker of Letterman Row, he's going to join us. We'll recap and keep track of what's going on with the Buckeyes in the portal coming up here with him in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on the
early on snow days, because snowed in is not an option. The Kubota snow lineup of compact tractors, RTVs, and versatile attachments are built to thrive in the winter. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $6,000. Now through December 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Find your local Kubota dealer at BuckeyeKubotaDealers.com.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from Pillow Soft plush dual feel and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We're very close to Buckeye football. Very close. Uncomfortably close. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
I'd be far away from a game, but We have a lot going on in the transfer portal, and that's why right now we head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, check with our guy, Vladimir Monroe. He is Mick Walker. Mick, thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. Has anything broke in like the last 5 seconds? Because I feel like you've got to constantly be refreshing the phone, your news apps with what is going on with Ohio State. How are you doing? Are you doing all right?
I'm doing great. Typically, when we get to kickoffs like we had last night, we get a little bit of a break, a little bit of a pause. So hopefully things slow down, at least for this college football game. Obviously, Ohio State would prefer to be playing in it instead of dealing with the portal, but this is the situation we're in.
Absolutely, it is. Can you take us through the last 24 hours and what has been going on with Bo Jackson being reported by you guys a little bit earlier in conjunction with Berm over at Letterman Row that Bo Jackson will be returning to Ohio State? Now, it was like a fever pitch almost last night at this point, Mick, that he was going to leave. Like, what kind of has transpired between Ohio State and his camp over the last day or so?
Really just a contractual way of meeting in the middle, I think is kind of what happened. There was a number I think Ohio State wanted to pay him, and I think there's a number that Bo Jackson and his camp wanted. Just over the past 24 hours, I think it seemed like they've kind of met in the middle more. I don't know if Ohio State came up some or Bo Jackson's camp came down, what the exact of it was. I think they both came to, as Berm reported on our side, a reasonable agreement, a good number. And that's kind of been the big difference. I think when Berm reported that last night, there was a belief that Bo Jackson's number was going to stay what it was, and somebody else, they were going to go hit the open market and try and get that. I think we were all skeptical that he would be actually able to hit that number on the open market, but that was their goal. I think they've since come down. I don't know if there's market research or planning or just Bo wants to be in Columbus, but that seems to be what's transpired in the past 24 hours or so.
Mick, how surprised are you with the number of guys that have entered the transfer portal so far? Obviously, last year at this time, Buckeyes are playing in the playoffs, so we didn't have to really worry about this as much, but just the sheer volume of guys.
Quite surprised, but then when you dig into the discussion like we just had with Bo Jackson, or you look at what happened with Quincy Porter this week, and the idea of Quincy Porter after having four catches coming in saying, I want X amount of dollars as a sophomore, and Ohio State saying, we were going to be wanting to pay you half that, if less. Like, there's just differences on some of these guys when they come in and try and expect a certain number and what Ohio State's willing to give them. So when you have that, whether it's Jarquez Carter like today or just a Bogdan, but Jarquez Carter thing's a little bit different. Maybe he wanted more money. Bogdan Miller, another guy that entered today, that one's a weird one because he was a developmental guy. So I don't know if it's just a situation where Ohio State said we need to just trim the roster and kind of get it to more of that 50, that 40 that happens in the NFL where it's our top guys, it's our two deep, it's our real playable guys, and everybody that's in there, we will play and we'll rotate in. But the back 30 or so, if they want to stay and they want to be cheap and they want to develop, sure, but we can't overstretch ourselves because we need money for the top half. So the number is surprising, but the process, it seems that this is the way it's trending with college football.
Mick, we were talking, you know, really over the last couple of days or so, maybe a fundamental shift in the way that Ohio State recruits high schoolers and the way that they attack the transfer portal. Do you see a fundamental change happening in the way that Ohio State really attacks like roster procurement from the ways that they've been doing it in the past?
I think so. They signed their largest class in maybe the internet recruiting area this cycle with close to 30 guys. I believe it was 28, maybe on the finish, 29. I could be wrong, but that was kind of the idea of, hey, we don't have a spring portal window. Let's get some developmental guys and fill out the bottom of this roster. But now as you head into 2027, there might be an idea of, hey, let's take a good 15 to 20, maybe get in the low 20s of guys where we want to get our top running back target and get David Gabriel Georges. We want to get our top tight end target and Brock Williams. And those guys, since they are top and they are national recruits, they're going to cost a good bit of money. But hey, we're going to pay them that money. They're going to play early and they're going to contribute as freshmen because that's what they're getting paid to do. It's a shift for Ohio State because it's not what they've really done. But if you look at Oregon, who's about to play tonight, or Miami that's done in the past, both those schools have recruited really well at the top part of their class in the past couple of cycles. The middle and the bottom haven't been that talented because they've spent a lot of money, if you're Miami, on getting Reuben Bain, on getting Francis Maminoa, or Oregon trying to get DeCorian Moore. Like, they've had multiple 4 and 5 stars up there at the top because that's kind of what they've seen. We're going to prioritize getting good freshmen, and then if we need more guys in the back end, we'll get from transfers.
How do you think that then has a trickle-down effect of the guys that, say, Ohio State would recruit that next group of guys that normally would get a chance to be Buckeyes, but maybe don't, and you could pick any of the major programs. Like, how does that affect recruiting and where these guys have opportunities now?
It probably gives schools in maybe the middle to lower tier of the Big Ten the opportunity to get some guys they may not have gotten previously. But there's also some guys where maybe it's an honest conversation. You look at it and go, I'd rather be at Ohio State making less and maybe trying to earn a raise rather than going to Purdue and getting being the top five guy in their class. And money's not everything for everybody, so that could change. There's plenty of guys like Leroy Roker this year. He is not into the transfer portal. He's been steadily developing for 2 or 3 years, and I don't think there's any intention for Leroy Roker to ask for a ton of money. I don't think that's how he's wired. But there are some other guys, like maybe a Bryce West and an Aaron Scott, that wanted more money, and they got it from other schools, and that's why they're kind of in the portal. So I just think that's kind of the way it's trending, is you got to – there's some guys that will come and they'll develop, and there's other guys where you're just going to have to see them end up at Big Ten schools, and maybe that helps with other programs, but Ohio State's going to probably lack depth or maybe have more top-end talent but lack depth.
He is Mick Walker of Letterman Row with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Mick, I think we settled on the number either 26 or 27 Ohio State players right now currently in the transfer portal. Some of these guys have landing spots. Some of them are still trying to figure that out and where they're going to go. As far as bringing guys in, though, Ohio State targeting players, what are you hearing for Ohio State bringing some of these guys in who are currently in the transfer portal right now that may or may not be Buckeyes for the 2026 season?
Yeah, for numbers-wise, they probably have to get a pen and paper out. But just position-wise, I think they want another running back. They're exploring the avenue of maybe getting another tight end if you do lose Max Clair to the draft. O-line doesn't seem to be much of a priority in the transfer portal right now, kind of holding pat on the top group they got. Wide receiver, maybe another one. Maybe you try and get Mylon Graham back. Maybe you had another one in the defensive line. That's where it's really at. There's four or five legitimate targets that I've visited and that are considering Ohio State that could end up in this class, and you're just overhauling the group that you lose. You want to get back Kenyatta Jackson. You want to keep Zion Grady in the fold. Like, that's really the big group where they're trying to add. Linebacker seems to be done after James Laurinaitis added Christian Allegro from Wisconsin. And then cornerback, they need to add there. There's just no real targets that kind of remain on the board. They'll probably have to expand that. Maybe see if you can coax some other people, get the word out that Ohio State needs a cornerback, and they end up in the portal. Safety is another spot. Maybe you add another safety to start next to Jalen McClain. I think they like Faheem Delane and the freshman Blaine Bradford coming in. But if you can get another experienced safety, you kind of get it. But those are really the positions, corner, D-line, and then maybe another tight end or a guy in the backfield. That's really where it stands right now and what the needs are.
I think as we talk about the 20-some guys that are in the portal, you talk about needs right there. Like, from a Buckeye fan who just likes to watch the game and is sort of paying attention to this, it might seem like full-on panic mode as the roster changes. What would you say to maybe calm some of the fears of Ohio State? Or do you think it is panic mode?
I would say that the January 16th deadline that we all see, that's just the day to enter, for players to enter. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of guys that will continue to take their decisions past that. Quinshon Judkins committed, I believe, on January 19th or January 20th. He was a later guy, committed right after Michigan won a national championship in 2023 or 2024. So, like, there's plenty of time left, and I think Ohio State has a plan. It's hard to say, be patient, they have a plan, but I think that's kind of the way to go about it, is there's still I understand the time to enter is running down, but there's still plenty of time to add. And we're just in a world right now. It used to be a couple of cycles ago in the transfer portal where you want that first visit so you can get them on campus, you can lock them down, but it's not the case. Like James Smith and Quay Russo, who from Alabama, who they got on campus yesterday, they immediately went from Ohio State to Notre Dame, and maybe they still end up coming back to Ohio State, but there's just ongoing negotiations to see if somebody can hit a number, if you're going to be able to get what you want, if you prefer a school. So we're just going to see some of these guys that probably visited already, maybe circle back in a week or two. That's just kind of how the transfer portal seems to be going for these top tier guys.
Mick, what are you hearing about the potential return of maybe Mylon Graham? I know that he entered the portal, but there has been talk about Ohio State maybe wanting to retain his services. He's coming back. I'm sure that he's trying to figure out a number or landing spot for himself. But if there's one guy that did enter with a likelihood to return, Mylon Graham does seem like the one, at least right now, that could potentially have that highest probability.
Yeah, I think in Mylon's core, he loves Ohio State. He would like to be here. And just the opportunity of maybe, is there more money actually on the table at other schools? Like, he's visited Notre Dame. He's considering stops in the SEC or different programs that he can look at. And other schools in the Big Ten, are those actually going to offer more money? If they do, is it more worthwhile to leave and go there? Is it worthwhile to stay in Ohio State? Because conceivably, he's the second or the third outside wide receiver next year, with Christian Reed Jr. kind of in that competition. So there's playing time available to him. He didn't get a lot of it this year. Maybe that changes as Hankton coming in as the new wide receivers coach. He does seem like the one that they're still entertaining, because when you look at the available wide receivers, there's not a ton of actual great ones really left. Mylon Graham's one of the better ones, so that one's actually about retention instead of outward addition.
You mentioned Cortez Hankton. That's what I was going to ask you about next, specifically on the recruiting trail. There seems to be sort of mixed reviews depending on where you read and who you talk to about his recruiting. What do you know about him as a recruiter? And I know he's started off trying to get in with some guys. What can you tell Buckeye fans about him so far?
Yeah, a lot of the sour grapes, if you look at them, whether they're from Georgia fans or LSU fans, he had some guys committed and they didn't sign. Like DeCorian Moore, who's going to play for Oregon tonight in the college football semifinal, he was committed to LSU for a very long time. But then when it comes down to it, Oregon has more money. You also have the element of then you're recruiting with Brian Kelly, who's mm-hmm. your head coach. And I think we've learned now that most people don't like working with Brian Kelly. They come out and said, like, while he was committed to the Tigers, he didn't have much of a relationship with Brian Kelly and how that kind of impacts things. That's not going to be the case with Ryan Day in Ohio State. One, they're going to commit the money to like restock the wide receiver position. They've already done that. Ryan Day's also been involved. Like, we run a story on Letterman Row today. Jameer Brown, the five-star from Huber Heights, waned. While there was no wide receivers coach, Ryan Day was talking to him multiple times a week to reassure him, to build that relationship up, to be involved. Because Ryan Day, at his core, has some wide receiver coaching background. Like, I think when you look at the money they'll give and the involvement of Ryan Day, that probably changes the calculus of how much value Cortez Hankton can provide. Because he's a good developer, working with Ladd McConkey and George Pickens. He can manage a room. It's just about whether or not he's going to have the resources to really compete with the big dogs.
Mick, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us this evening. You got a winner tonight between Oregon and Indiana?
I still can't shake the feeling of seeing Indiana in the Big Ten championship game from field level. That's a darn good football team. So I'll roll with the Hoosiers and Kurt Cincinnati.
Buddy, always appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Hopefully, keep your phone on loud for any notifications, which I'm sure that you'll probably get some more this weekend, all right?
I will. Hopefully, Will Fernandez is doing good in Celtic. That's what I'm really rooting for.
He got fired. He got axed. He got sacked, Mick.
From what I've seen, the soccer market is a little bit more wild than the transfer market, correct?
Yeah, they gave him six games and they fired him. Buddy, appreciate it. Have a great weekend, all right?
Thanks, Bean. Thanks, Pat.
There he goes. Mick Walker, Letterman Row, Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hashtag Buckeyes coming at you next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Wrinkles, gray hair, and hearing loss are common signs of getting older. But being short of breath, having tightness in your chest, coughing and wheezing are not. If you are experiencing these symptoms, you may be one of the millions of people who are living with a condition called COPD but don't know it. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years of better breathing to your life. For more information, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
This is Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind, that's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee, you'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and three-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, and RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear. Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade, all available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
I don't know.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by The Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at The Waterworks and header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Here on The Buckeye Show, brought to you by CareSource and United Healthcare. Ducks and Hoosiers underway down in Atlanta. Kickoff just happened. Indiana stonewalled Oregon on the return. I'm not exactly sure where Oregon has the football at right now, Pat, but I don't believe it is the 25-yard line because an Oregon player did try to bring it out and got absolutely rocked. So Oregon does have the ball. Again, first possession of the game offensively for the Ducks. Only 3 seconds into this game. I will say, home field advantage in Atlanta this evening, by far, resides with the Indiana Hoosiers. showed me this picture, yeah. of the entire stadium, of the crowd. There's like 20% Oregon in that building, maybe.
Yeah,
that's 20% if we're being kind. There is a whole lot of crimson in that building tonight down at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. I bet that place is rocking. Oregon's got the ball on the 20-yard line, so not the 25. But yes, Indiana, and the first play of the game, a pick six from Dante Moore. Hoosiers up 6-0. That place, I bet, just exploded.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you feeling about your Oregon pick? Double down on it.
Look, how many times have we seen this early score?
Just a couple of weeks ago, Bears and 49ers. First play of the game, Brock Purdy, pick six to TJ Edwards. 49ers came back and won that.
Let me give you two sad ones. Well, one sad one for you and two sad ones for everyone else. Ohio State, Florida.
Yeah.
Kick return. And then just, a month and a half later?
Yeah, the Devin Hester kick return.
Bears, Colts.
Yeah.
So, they got plenty of time. There's basically a whole game left to play.
There's an argument to be made. If you're going to do that, you may as well do it on the first play of the game. That way you have enough time in the game to actually get yourself back into the football game.
Exactly. So I still feel good. Now, how does Dante Moore respond from this?
I don't know.
That's the big question, right? You got to come back out. Because this was an issue in the first game, not a pick six, but they did turn the ball over. Man, he just jumped that route.
A couple more of those, he might be in play for the Browns sitting at six.
Yeah, you're right. He might be.
One or two.
You're talking about Dante Moore?
Oh, of course.
Who are you eyeing in the draft?
Is that Pons? Who do you think I'm eyeing? I'm eyeing the guy who just threw a pick six. He'd fit right in.
Yeah. He would look sweet in orange and brown.
Is this the battle to be the Browns quarterback, this game right here?
No, because they're not. They're
I guess Vegas is. Yeah.
Either they need to both play really good, which Dante Moore so far hasn't, and the Browns could trade up, or one needs to play horribly to fall to us, or I'll just take Carnell Tate.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. Or Caleb Downs. Are you okay with the Caleb Downs?
I am in on Caleb Downs as well.
Okay, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But yeah, or Indiana up 7-0. First play of the game again, Dante Moore pick six. This is Indiana's second return as an interception for a touchdown this season. Yeah, I can't imagine the atmosphere in that place right now, Pat. You've been to a lot of stadiums. Like, I feel like when that stadium gets rocking, it's like a Thunderdome in there.
Yeah, because regardless of who is playing, the Falcons have not been great in that stadium. But you and I know about Atlanta United, the soccer team that plays there. Yep. And then when Ohio State's put there, I mean, that Georgia-Ohio State playoff game in 2022, it was a pretty even split despite the fact, I mean, probably, more Georgia obviously being at home, but sure. Ohio State fans obviously showed up. And that was, you're back and forth the whole game. The crowd is losing their minds. Like, I don't know how many people were the Surrender Cobra pose in that game, but I imagine it was a lot. Yeah, it's a cool place. And that scoreboard, Jerry was World and that giant scoreboard never disappoints, but this with the like infinity ring is pretty cool.
Where would you say is the loudest like neutral site atmosphere that you've been to? Because you've checked them pretty much all off the list, right?
Yeah, I've been to New Orleans.
New Orleans, I have been to New Orleans, and that place as much as the Superdome is like old and rickety and not really up to like the standards of, you know, the quote unquote new, like great stadiums across football, the Superdome is awesome. Like it is, you get packed in there, man. The seats are not too far apart from each other and it gets loud and you can get an environment in a hurry down there.
I'd say probably here. I mean, the Rose Bowl, like that Utah game, that got going too. Just again, the crazy nature of it. But yeah, probably here at Mercedes-Benz. You know, the thing with Dallas is there's so much like VIP seating and suites and things like that.
Very corporate.
Like I thought the Miami Ohio State game, there wasn't much atmosphere. Like, it got better in the second half.
I thought it was louder, at least just listening to Paul and Jim on the broadcast call of that Cotton Bowl. It sounded like the Miami fans were way more boisterous than the Buckeye fans.
They definitely got louder. But like the first half, I remember saying to the guy sitting next to me, like, does this feel like a funeral? Like no one. And now there wasn't a ton of action in the first half really until that pick six, but it's just like there wasn't a lot of loud, you know, hey, our defense is on the field, we're going to be loud type of thing. It was more just kind of people sitting on their hands a little bit. And maybe it was, and maybe that place just isn't as loud as some of the others. I'd have to think back. It definitely got loud when Jack Sawyer was returning that fumble.
Yeah, as it should have, because that play was pretty terrific. One of the most infamous plays in Ohio State history. Before we get out of here for this evening, any more thoughts on the Buckeyes, Pat? I'm sure it's going to be a busy weekend. Again, what Mick Walker just said, players have 1 week from today to officially enter the transfer portal. That doesn't mean teams have to pick them up by next week, but the roster turnover not finished yet. You have one more week to go. What remaining thoughts do you have on Ohio State, the transfer portal, anything else that's been going on?
Yeah, I thought Mick did a good job of kind of going through the positions that are still of need and where he thinks the Buckeyes will go. That was a lot of positions though, right? Like there's work to be done. And as you point out, it doesn't have to be done in the next week. I do think you want to get guys on campus as quickly as possible though, right? But this is a process. Like you want to make sure you get it right. You don't want to be the first guy. You want to be the right guy in terms of this. So, I do think that, you know, they being Ohio State, have not given us a reason not to trust that they will assemble a roster that will be very competitive next season. And until that happens, I'm going to lean on that they'll get that done. And I think let's remember the guys coming back, like they didn't lose Jeremiah Smith. They didn't lose Bo Jackson, right? So they've got plenty of talent.
They didn't, but got dicey there for a second.
Yeah. But I do think, especially on the defensive side, just because of all that you're losing, you want to add, I like the pickup of Christian. I think it's Allegro. Yeah. We'll learn it, but, I like that. Like I think he was honorable mention, all Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Behind Ohio State's linebackers this year. So that's a guy I think James Laurinaitis can do some things with, big physical type of guy. I think there's still some pieces to be added, no doubt. And let's not forget, there, despite the fact that we talked all show about, hey, the bottom of the roster is going to go away, there's still development to be done. Like Mick brought up a guy like Leroy Roker, mm-hmm. who can make an impact. There's other guys like that on this team.
Yeah, there is, right? I mean, it's an interesting offseason for Ohio State, just with the unknown, guys leaving, and 26 players, 27 players somewhere in there right now in the portal for the Buckeyes. How many are they going to add? Are you going to rely on freshmen? What's Chris Henry's role going to be? Mm-hmm. So a ton of questions. It does seem that Dante Moore has gotten things back on track for Oregon because they are currently driving its first down on the Indiana 38-yard line. So he has bounced back from that early pick six, Pat. You're staying with Oregon, correct?
Staying with Oregon, yeah.
Isaiah, are you sticking Pat or are you changing right now? You can say whatever.
I've got Oregon
want.
Plus 4.5, so you know where my allegiance is.
All right. I think I'm switching. I'm going with Indiana. Pat, had a great time with you this evening. Have a great weekend, all right?
All right. I'll do my best.
Everybody, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy all the football going on tonight and through the weekend. May the best of luck happen to your NFL team. Something else is up next on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.